Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. Lee Rogers, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
I want to bring to your attention this one story of a couple that stole a golf cart from a North Carolina church. This is in Marion. They were caught, and this would have been right after Christmas. They thought, you know, in the Christmas spirit, how about I sneak into the property of this church and take their golf cart, which sounds like an expensive one, a Yamaha golf cart, which I didn't know Yamaha makes golf carts too. They were caught and then charged, so their mugshots are online. That's a stupid thing to do, stealing from a church day after Christmas.
I mean, please, yeah.
Come on, leave the church alone, right?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, most churches, if you ask them for something, would get you something. So, anyway.
You can knock on the door and say, can I take your golf cart?
Well,
they might say no, but they'll say, yeah, we can help you with a meal if that's what you need.
There you go.
Can I tell you one of the sad things that is starting to trickle in for some friends and family of Rob Reiner and his wife? So the report is some of their Christmas cards are now finally getting delivered because they've been stuck in the mail for a while.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad? You get these handwritten notes of a friend who just was killed, murdered, and the tragedy around that. And then you look in your mailbox and there's a note from them, what seems like beyond the grave.
Yeah.
Isn't that heartbreaking?
Yeah, but at least that would be some type of memento that you could keep if you had a personal relationship with a dearly departed couple there.
Right. What if you really didn't know them that well, but somehow you got on their mailing list? Would you sell the card for
most
a couple
likely,
extra bucks?
Somebody probably will, yes.
Should we be checking eBay or the auction houses, perhaps?
It's just like the folks that, you know, bought the stuff that was auctioned off from the Murdoch house down in the lower part of the state. You know, I don't understand that.
Do something
but anyway,
with that, I know. It's the morbid curiosity side of it, but it's so interesting that, you know, some people are posting these photos. And they've been friends of the couple, and, you know, they may have had close relationships with them. And I don't know, what do you frame that and hang it up on your wall? What do you do with something like that? Because it seems like, you know, out of the curiosity, other people would want to see it. But at the same time, you don't want to, like, okay, look at this memento I have of someone that was murdered.
Yeah.
You know?
By their own son.
By their own son, allegedly, I should probably say, but probably. It's sad. Isn't it terrible? Oh, we went through this whole allegedly thing before, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. It's a sad situation. And could you imagine, you know, just what the holidays are like for that family, the other siblings knowing what their brother did and their parents are gone and now they're alone without them. And that's a tough thing for a lot of people that go through the holidays and they have a family, like a parent, maybe both parents are gone, and they think about, man, what I would give to go back in time to have one more Christmas with them. Mm-hmm. It's a tough thing the holidays are for people who have lost loved ones.
It certainly can be, yes. Yeah, it certainly can be.
I want to run this scenario by you and tell me if this is crazy or not. So let's try to do a checklist of all the fraud that's going on in Minnesota and, you know, other states too. But we have this fraud when it comes to the child daycares, where potentially billions of dollars was stolen. And you have the federal government even stepping in, okay? You have the HUD controversies, where some of this money was going to people that weren't eligible for it, the fraud in housing. You had Medicare, where there's some fraud there. You had COVID spending fraud, which was going on there. So you continue to go down the list and you check, all these different levels of fraud continue to happen. Why is it that people on the left will refuse to admit there's a potential for election fraud when all these other fraud cases continue to be found? Why is it that it's impossible for election fraud to happen then? Why won't they admit that there's a pretty good likelihood there's a level of fraud going on there too?
It's because they benefit politically from that fraud. Mm-hmm. Period. That's my belief. I'm not saying that there's never any Republican fraud, but I certainly think that the vast majority of the political fraud that goes on in these types of election situations benefits Democrats. And that's why they turn a blind eye to it and ignore it. Same way they ignored the declining mental capacity of the previous president.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm going to play a clip maybe after the break. And it's kind of an interesting one because Nick Shirley, who kind of got the ball rolling on all of this child care fraud in Minnesota, was on a podcast with Donald Trump Jr. And Donald Trump Jr. says during this podcast, one of the reasons why this was allowed is because the money gets funneled back into the Democratic Party, meaning it's a money laundering opportunity. Do you think that could be a part of it?
Absolutely. No question. I have no doubt that that's a large part of it. Whether it's ever proven or not, I have no idea. But that's my belief. I agree with that 100%.
So it's more than just votes.
Yes.
It's more than just buying the votes.
Well,
or
but the money is votes.
That would vote for
in some ways, that's what it is. That's how you fund the thing and make it work. When you have the bodies there that you can claim have the right to vote and then have the money to get those votes to the polls, supposedly, that's
and
all
vouch
tied
for
together.
Other people to
yes.
give them the ability to vote.
Yeah.
That these laws, it's such an interesting way that these laws are written. And could they not perhaps have anticipated that there would be abuse that system?
I'm certain many people have. I'm one of these old school folks. There ought to be a day to vote, 12 hours, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I don't care. You vote, you put your mark on a piece of paper that day, period.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's
and you show your ID.
Exactly. Well, yes. Yes. You identify that you are a citizen that can legally vote. You have your voter registration card. And if you want to make exceptions for people that are serving this country out of the country that can't get back to vote in their district, that, I have no problem with it in the military. Anybody else? Hey, show up. That's the way it ought to be. Mm-hmm. Show up. And this stuff about mailing out ballots and early voting and all this stuff, I'm sorry. That's all of this is why we're in the situation we are now with all the voter fraud. Because we have gotten away from the common sense way of voting. You show up to the polls on the day that the vote is to be held, and that's it. Period. End of story. And then at the end of the day, you count the ballots.
Well, how about this? When we discuss the opportunities that voter fraud can happen, in not purging voter rolls, and you find this in Democratic areas, and it's including here where I'm at in Michigan, there was more people registered to vote than there were eligible voters. And here's what journalists will do. They'll go and say, okay, let's just take a look at some of these different houses that say there's like 12 voters living at this house. And they'll go to the house and they'll say, hey, do you know any of these people? And they'll say, no, I have no idea who any of these people are. Yeah. And what we find is that you get these provisional ballots or these absentee ballots mailed in.
Right.
They're claiming a false residence inside the state of Michigan. But what happens sometimes is they count the vote. Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, there's no way for us to uncount that vote after we determine it was invalid.
Right.
And that's why you purge the voter roll. So it's labeled invalid to begin with. But they don't do things like that because primarily the people that benefit from it are the Democrat candidates.
Right. That's it. That's what I've been saying.
That's fraud.
Yes, it is. It is voter fraud, period.
And why don't they admit that there could be the possibility of fraud when there's fraud everywhere in the government? They have to.
Yeah.
And they don't, but because they benefit from it the most.
Yes, exactly.
That's the only explanation I could think of.
Yeah, that is it. Those who benefit from the crime will deny the crime.
I like that. Those who benefit from the crime deny the crime. That's pretty good. That could be in a movie trailer somewhere. I think, Lee, I would write that down.
Right.
That's a good way to look at it. Okay, I'm looking forward to spending this New Year's Eve with you, Lee Rogers. It's always a pleasure. All right, when we come back, I'll finally play some of those clips from the Minnesota fraud case. There's been a couple of advancements from that and what they want to happen next in that case. ICE Director Todd Lyons has some thoughts on that. Minnesota State Representative Kristen Robbins have some thoughts on that. And I will play that clip from Nick Shirley, who was on Donald Trump Jr.'s podcast. He was asked the question, what kind of accountability would he like to see in this case? You'll find the answer coming up. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker and having a good time. I enjoy those conversations with Lee Rogers. I really do. All right, I wanted to get to a couple of these clips I had prepared for you. When we're talking about the Minnesota fraud allegations, there's a lot to it. How about I start with, let's do it, the officials, mostly because I think getting the official account of what they're working on might be a good way to set the stage here. And to do so, we're going to first go to ICE Director Todd Lyons, who says they are on the ground and they ain't messing around. I tried to make that rhyme. Did it work? Ground and around? Maybe a little bit. Okay. Here's the clip.
ICE has been on the ground in Minnesota for a while now looking at these fraud claims. And one thing now the Homeland Security Investigation Special Agents are looking into is just that you said, that money trail of where this money is going to foreign aid. You know, obviously looking at any type of links to any criminal activity, obviously terrorism activity, you know. And one thing you will see is that ICE is...
I'm going to pause right here real quick. One of the angles that they're looking into is the terrorist side. So could you think, okay, wait a minute, how does this link to terrorism? Well, if you accept money fraudulently to the tune of millions of dollars, and then you expand that over all these other different businesses that were fraudulently claiming and accepting this money over a period of, you know, maybe a decade even, and they're sending the money overseas, how is that money used? Why was it spent sent overseas? And what organizations received and used that money? And what was that money used for? Is there a potential terrorist angle to this? And I think that's why ICE needs to move quickly. And that's why they're doing it.
Links to any criminal activity, obviously terrorism activity, you know. And one thing you will see is that ICE is actually out there going with criminal warrants to conduct these investigations. So all too often you hear that ICE is just out there terrorizing the community or conducting administrative work. We've been on the ground in Minnesota conducting criminal investigations, and Homeland Security investigations has gone door to door to a lot of these suspected fraud sites all over St. Paul and Minnesota, and we're learning a lot.
Right. You are learning a lot. And when they go door to door, what you're finding sometimes is that the now journalists are like, okay, we better pay attention to this one. They show up with their camera crews and they film these locations and they're like, oh, this is strange. You know, we saw the videos, we saw the online documentary by Nick Shirley, and the place was empty. There was no one here. There were no signs of life. There was no cars. There was no children. There was no workers. And you're looking at some sort of industrial building with no windows. And you go down this hall and it's one childcare after another, registered under these childcare names, but no services are being rendered. But we can see from the documents very clearly that the government's paying them for these services. That's strange. And now all of a sudden, after the video gets out and the feds are showing up, wait, now there's a lot of activity here. Well, there's a bunch of cars, there's a bunch of kids, there's this and that. And they're saying, wait a minute, why the sudden surge? I think it's quite clear that they realize they need to put up the appearance that something is going on, because going back into the archives, other news reports from the previous years documented the same thing. They documented parents showing up, money being exchanged, parents leaving with their kids, no child care being offered. It was just business transactions. And in this case, maybe they just do it all virtually in a post-COVID world. They can do all of their fraud virtually because they need to socially distance, you know, to protect themselves while they're engaging in fraud. So here's State Representative Kristen Robbins.
I called for the governor to resign several weeks ago. I just think his dereliction of duty is unconscionable. These whistleblowers have been sounding the alarm for years. We've had hearings for almost a year now, holding his agencies accountable. He's not fired anyone. He's not taken steps to stop the fraud on the front end. And he continues to make excuses. So I would absolutely want him to resign, as I said weeks ago, or I know others are looking at articles of impeachment, but he is responsible. He has turned a blind eye for 7 years, and we need to clean house in the executive branch.
We need to clean house in the executive branch. Is there going to be any sort of responsibility accepted? The answer is probably not. Is there enough to impeach him, force him out of office? Probably not. Is it possible that the voters decide that it's not his time in office anymore? And Tim Walz will say something like, maybe I just won't seek re-election. Very likely. Would he seek re-election and lose an election? Likely. I don't know what the best case scenario is here. I think the best case scenario is him resigning to get immediate effect. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But what I can tell you is that for his own and most people's sake, someone needs to accept responsibility for this. And it goes all the way to the top. We know he knew what was going on and didn't act. And for him to accept no responsibility is I guess, par for the course, but also you hope that there is just a little bit of shred of integrity there, but we're not hoping on it. All right, let's go to the podcast from Nick Shirley when he was talking to Donald Trump Jr. And after I play this, I want to play the counterpoint to all of this. CNN's Abby Phillips defending these daycare centers and defending Governor Walz. So I'll play that clip from CNN, who's on the side of the Somali refugees and daycare centers that have been defrauding the government. They're on their side. So we'll play that in a second. But here's Nick Shirley. What does he believe should happen when it comes to accountability?
I think the accountability we want to see happen with this is we do want to see people actually be held criminally for what they've committed. Mm-hmm. If you stole $10 million, you'd be in jail. If I stole $10 million, I'd be in jail. So therefore, if Tim Walz is accountable for, let's just say, even $1 million of this fraud, whether he has to spend 10 days in a prison cell or however many years a judge finds him guilty for, that's what he should have to do. And same with all the other fraudsters and all the other corrupt politicians who allowed this to happen. It's time to take it serious. And this is such a pivotal moment for the current administration to really show, we're holding people accountable for what they've done.
Yeah, I saw Cash put out a thing on it. You know, they've been looking into this for months, I guess the thing is this, there's not just the people at the daycare centers or the people taking that check. Where's the money going? Where's the other funding? I mean, this is complicated stuff to track down because you really can't just take out the one daycare center or the 50 or the 100 that are there. You got to see where all this other stuff is going so you can uncover what is probably a much larger, corruption case than even what you've discovered, which is, again, billions of dollars, in my opinion, probably at least. But it seems like it's going so much further than that. And, it all probably ties back to some sort of Democrat fundraising apparatus where these businesses are then making sure that they're electing the people and the Democrats so they can keep perpetuating these fraudulent policies. It's just a never ending vicious cycle.
Yep. Well, there is a counterpoint to this. CNN yesterday brought the counterpoint and defended what looks like fraud. I mean, when it comes to the likelihood of fraud being committed, I put it in the 98th percentile. Now, keep in mind, obviously, innocent till proven guilty, and the state and the federal government need to make their case officially first. But all things that we're seeing, 98th percentile, I'm putting fraud is occurring on a mass scale to the tune of billions of dollars. But CNN is grabbing onto that 2% saying, we don't think it's happening. I'm going to play their defense after the break. I want you to stay tuned. If you want to reach the show, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. If you want to reach me, I'm on Twitter at Ryan Recker or on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. It would be nice to connect with you on WORD. Thank you for the text messages that are coming in. One person said, wow, what a surprise. CNN denies fraud in Minnesota. Don't forget, they also insisted to the very end that Biden was of sound mind. I think that's a good point. Another text message came in. It would not surprise me one bit if we find out that CNN was getting money from all of this. Were the news networks somehow enabled? Were they bribed? Here's what I think happened during COVID. You had the drug manufacturers getting a ton of money from the government. I mean, they're rapid fire trying to get these COVID shots out. And on top of that, the government's paying for the shots at top dollar, and they're implementing these, and they're just money's going out the door over. And you talk about an ultra inflation opportunity there. So with that, the drug manufacturers are flush with cash. Their stock is through the roof. And what do? They immediately sponsor newscasts and news networks. So is it perhaps there's some sort of potential for the amount of money that these companies were paying the news networks to influence how they report? Now, this could be an integrity issue, and you can say, no, there's a separation there. They would never cross that line. Or you can say the potential is there and we'll never know. And that's where I side with. The potential is there and they never know. So is it there's some sort of potential that money was used maybe through advertising, through sponsorships, through donorships? Is it possible? I don't know. I can't think of any advertisements, at least the same way the COVID shots went. But what I can't imagine is that what these networks have been known to do in the past is we need to be friendly to the Democrat Party because otherwise they won't talk to us. So if we do a negative report on Kamala Harris, then we'll lose access to the White House, the Biden White House. If we say something that is truthful and report on something like Fox News would report on it, then they won't let us get the one-on-one that we wanted with this person. So they use it as a way to say we need to be friendly in order to get access because it's better for us to get them on our airwaves than anything else. So is it possible that they may have knew this, didn't report on it, or perhaps would it surprise me they got something out of it in order to not report fully on it? Maybe. I think that could be a possibility that is going to be difficult to prove, but possible. Same thing with social media networks. We went through this whole thing with social media. Facebook's of the world coming out and admitting the government involvement and the threats that were made from the government if they didn't take down certain posts. Well, I mean, who's to say and who's to believe that they didn't try and probably successfully try to do the same thing with news networks? One person said, what happened after a Fox affiliate in 2018 exposed the fraud in Minnesota? Okay, that's a good question, because we saw the reports of this coming out over and over again. Why was nothing done then? Why does it take an independent journalist on a social media platform to post their documentary before that happens? Thank you for all the messages here. You know, Mike Lindell, as people are pointing out, he's running for office in Minnesota, isn't he? Does this, like, pave the way for Mike Lindell to be the next governor? Isn't that something? I mean, that could happen. All right, so I wanted to play for you, and I said I would before the break. Here's CNN's defense to the Somali daycares that are accepting millions of dollars but offering no services in return. Let's take a listen. How does CNN spin this in a way to defend them? All right, let's...
You knock on the door of a daycare center, and you're like, let me in, let me in. What do you expect people to do? You know, in some of those cases, there were children in there. What do you want people to do in that situation? Open the door and say, come on in, when they know that the Somali community is under attack, is being threatened every single day? What is going on here?
Look, if there's fraud there or anywhere else as it relates to Medicaid, it should be rooted out, and whoever has perpetrated it should be prosecuted, no question. But, you know, in the homeless shelters I run, we have daycare centers. If someone just showed up at the door banging to say, I want to, you know, bring a child there, we would not let them in. We don't let people who are unauthorized come in to daycare centers. But a big part of this that we also have to note is there was no need for the president to say the horrible things he said about the Somali community.
Okay, look at the distract. Look at the way they're trying to spin this here. Okay, so the point that they raise is, you know what? You have a stranger with a camera knocking on your front door. Why would you open that door? I mean, it's reasonable to try to protect those children from the safety threat of a stranger knocking on the door. Okay, we can take that point. We can also look at the actual evidence itself in the video and realize that it was very clear there was zero activity inside. There was no one there to answer the door. There was no children inside of those. We also know that he tried calling these facilities and no one was answering the phone. So it's not just them trying to talk to someone inside through, you know, means of face-to-face. He was actually calling them as a customer, someone that wanted to enroll in the program, and there wasn't anyone to talk to. There was no cars in the parking lot. It was ghost town. And when you go down a industrial building that has zero connection to the outside world, and you go down the row and you realize building after building, suite after suite, has zero activity during the day when you would be watching children, then, okay, there's something to that. There's something suspicious to that. But according to CNN, nothing to see here. It was just a misunderstanding of security protocol. I'm not buying it. I don't think they're buying it either. And I also like how she says at the back end, if there was fraud here, we want to root out fraud. Yeah, right. You don't want to root out fraud. Particularly, you don't want to root out election fraud. But you just say, oh, if someone was stealing from the taxpayers, they should be held accountable. I don't think they actually believe that when they say it. Because the next point, the very next direct point they make is that, wait a minute, hold on a second. Why is the president drawing attention to this. He must be a racist because he hates people from other countries. We've already established that. I mean, I've listened to this network over the past 8 years. We know Donald Trump hates immigrants, so that's a given fact. So we know that when he brings up criticisms, then he's just targeting Somalis unfairly because they're being persecuted and it's an easy pile on. So they go from, obviously, we want to get rid of fraud, but that's not what's happening here. They're not trying to get rid of fraud. They're just trying to be openly racist. That's CNN's way to try to spin it. I'm not buying a second of it at all. A couple of other text messages coming in. One person said, it's called a daycare center, right? Notice the word. There's no activity during the day. It's not legit. Let me point this out, too. When you have a sign on the wall and you can't spell learning correctly and no one notices it, it's there for show. It's there as a prop. It doesn't mean it's a legitimate business. One person said they should have a lobby reception area, which is a public space. A lot of schools do. Homeless shelters, if they wanted to bring that up as an example, they have a lobby. They have an ability to interact with the public, normally behind glass in a secure way, and then they buzz you in. I mean, if you've ever interacted with a school, that's the same protocol. They have an ability to interact with someone that comes to the door. Some cases it's a lobby or not, but they don't actually let you into the building. It's some sort of reception area. I don't know if all of these different daycare facilities would have that sort of thing, but they have a mechanism for you to interact with the public on the outside. You want to know why? Because if you are someone, if this was a legitimate organization and you're trying to drop your children off, if you're trying to sign up for daycare, then they need a way to talk to you. And if that's not happening, it means they're not equipped for any of this, mostly because these different, let's say if they were legit daycares, they wouldn't know that it's a guy going around with a camera trying to confront them. All they know is someone is knocking on the door. They have a means to try to interact with that person. They would interact with that person through that means. This is not what happened. These are buildings with nothing inside of them. It's all for show. One person said, Doge proved that the mainstream media is subsidized by millions for alliance to Democrats. Yeah, you know, Doge did look at that. That makes a really good point. I didn't mention that earlier, but that makes a good point. It says your rationale only works if CNN actually questions the Democrats when they have access. These are all things that are fantastic points to be made. It says every daycare I've ever seen has an outdoor playground. You know, that's a good point, too. I don't know if that's the case, but a lot of daycares, either a standalone building, has an outdoor component where the kids can go outside. I don't think you see that in any of this. All right, good points. Thank you for the text messages. Keep sending them in on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD. Some pretty good text messages coming in. I feel like you guys would all be good inside of the federal government's investigative side. I feel like you guys are internet sleuths because the things you're bringing up are really good. One person said, where was it? Who owns the buildings these learning centers are in? That is interesting. All right, let's look at this on a different scale. Like, let's say, hypothetically, you are one of these fake daycare centers and you can't spell learning, and you sign a lease for a building space to have some sort of physical address associated with it, so the fraud is a little bit more more accessible. And you put up a fake sign and you can't spell learning and no one shows up and not even the workers, and you just collect the money and someone benefits from it and they spend millions of dollars from the fraud from the taxpayers. Okay. So one person said, who owns these learning centers, these buildings? So let's zoom out for a second. What if, hypothetically, that the person that owns the building is also getting some sort of government subsidy? That is a great question, too. What's their involvement? Is it possible that the people that are putting these quote-unquote daycare centers up are also the building owners, and they knew the law, so they said, hey, it's my building, I'll just slap a sign up. I don't have to pay anything for space. I'll just call this address, which already exists within my domain, and then I'll just be the one to collect the money. I wonder if that's happened in any of the instances. That is a great question. Thank you for that text message. One person said maybe the fraud in Minnesota hasn't been stopped because the ones that can stop it are involved. I don't know how much involvement the lawmakers would have to benefit from this, but I will say I wouldn't put it past anyone in this whole circle. One person said, all of a sudden there's traffic at the daycares. Check security cameras from neighboring businesses to get history of people coming and going, dropping off kids. This is a good point. So there's going to be other businesses and other buildings around that area. Is there a way to, just like the police when they're investigating a crime, go to the Ring cameras and go to the security footage and say, let's kind of back up and how many days in a row can we find nothing happening here, when we know, if we look at their books, that they were offering these services and they said that they were watching kids? That's a really good point. You know, I think that's something that I'm sure will happen. I don't know how cooperative some of these other businesses may be, but it very well could be the case. One said, is Walls the big guy of the Somali crime syndicate, like the big guy of the Biden and Son family crime syndicate? Probably not. I'm going to guess that Walls' involvement was mostly trying to get votes and using that as a way to prop up more money to his state, federally speaking. I think that sometimes you get these federal incentives. They pay a certain percentage if you can come up with the rest of the money. And to me, that's just a type of fraud, of course, but maybe that's more of his prerogative, votes and money, as opposed to being part of the syndicate itself, the day-to-day operations of a fake daycare center. One person said daycare was approved for 122 kids around the corner. Another approved for 136 kids, all within walking distance from one another. Another person said, I thought the daycare centers had to be licensed by the state if they're receiving federal money. How is that possible if they're not state licensed? I think what you saw was they knew when the inspectors were going to be there, and they put on a show, much like they're putting on a show now, as in there's some heat into the building and they know people are watching, so we'll pretend that we have kids coming in here, when obviously the kids are showing up for the first time and they have no intention of watching the kids. They just need to put on the show in order to try to keep the charade going on, the charade. But same thing with the state inspectors. What happens is probably the same charade, and the state inspectors come in, and that's why all these violations were written up, because they weren't following the law, and then they didn't care to fix any of these violations, and they got the money anyway. All right, I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to WORD.